Okay. We have a question in, and okay, so when you receive information, we have a responsibility to share it if you're compelled to share it.
Yes.
But what if something that you see is bad, as in you're pretty sure that this person hurts people, or worse, I'm not 100% sure what that means.
That means you walk the other way.
Oh, okay. So don't share. That's warning.
That's warning for you. Walk the other way. Go the other way.
Okay.
And Carol said it. Walk the other way.
Don't pass go. Don't collect $200.
No. I've had that happen. I met a man years ago. I was with the Kidney Foundation, and he was going to help me do some fundraising. And his partner, he came over, and he introduced his partner to me. His partner put out his hand. I touched his hand. I knew he was a murderer.
Oh, my goodness.
That was bad.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep a poker face with that?
Not convicted murderer.
No, he was not
yet
at that time.
But I did do something about it. I did pass the word to people that I knew would understand.
So did you just know, or did you see?
No, I saw the murder.
Oh my goodness!
When I touched his hand, I was in. I saw the complete murder. Why? How? Everything. And it was the Maybelline heiress who was murdered.
Where does that fall on the line when you told us before that you have to be like invited into it? Did that invite you into it since that?
He introduced me.
Okay. You get what I'm talking about. Okay.
I don't think anything happens by accident.
I agree.
But that's pretty wild. So, yeah, when you run into a negative energy, I certainly wasn't going to tell him I know what you did and how you did it.
Right.
I don't really want to be next in line.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea not to be stupid, but to go ahead and just kind of go, okay, we're going to do it. Of course, he knew something had happened because I flinched. But he didn't know what.
How recent had the murder been?
Right, it was very recent. It was within the year when I met him.
I would have been like, I'm sorry, I have a tick.
Pretty wild.
Blood sucking.
Yeah.
So he'd be murdered, but he's a murder for hire or something like that?
No. Actually, he was very good friends with her. She took him as a confidant, and he really wanted to get in with her because she had a lot of money. He saw opportunity there, and he really played her until he was able to get her to put him in her will. And then they had a falling out, and she was going to take him out of the will, and he murdered her on the kitchen table and then set the place on fire. He choked her to death and set the place on fire. So, that's the hassles of, of being a psychic sometimes.
Or an heiress.
Or an heiress. With a lot of money.
It's a mixed blessing.
It's a mixed blessing.
But everything he touched fell apart.
I would imagine.
Oh, it did. It fell apart. Anything. Next question.
So what was when you were talking to Katrina about what was allowed, what's not allowed as far as you seeing? What's all that about?
If you see something negative about someone that you just meet or you're in the same room with, and you get a warning that maybe they will hurt people or they're bad people, that sort of thing, you are to leave. You don't walk up to them and say, I know you're a bad person, and I know that you like to kill people and torture them. You do not do that. you turn around
and
you leave. And if you can find someone that trusts in your abilities and knows that you're okay, that you're going to tell them the truth, then you tell them, look, this is what I got with this person. They need to be watched.
Self-preservation.
Yeah, I went to Mike Masterson, who was a reporter for the Gazette. No, it was actually the Democrat, is what it was at that time. And he was an investigative reporter. And I told him what I picked up, and they did investigate. And they started going for the guy, but they didn't have enough proof. So that's what you do.
But you have to be, what I was getting at was like kind of invited to it. Like if you just get a feeling off of something that something's going on, you cannot insert yourself into that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's what I was thought.
Don't go looking for it.
Right. Exactly.
You cannot.
There's a lot of things that you could do, but she doesn't because...
That's what I was getting
now,
at.
Now, there are situations. There are situations.
He was introduced to you, so that brought you into it.
I was brought into that.
Right.
But I saw two girls sitting at a restaurant, and I knew they were going to die because they had no aura.
Right.
I wasn't allowed to do anything.
Yeah. It was their time.
But there have been times when I've seen somebody without an aura that I was allowed to do something. So what I've learned to do is I go by what I'm told to do, if you will, or what I'm compelled to do.
And when you're compelled, there's no
you just
ifs, ands, or buts. It just happens.
You can fight it if you choose to. You can fight it. But it's not a wise thing to do. The best thing to do is go ahead and do what you need to do.
And the people are responsive.
They are absolutely responsive, and they don't freak out or anything. It's really weird. I've been at restaurants where I've told the waiter, look, stop worrying about your mother. She's going to be fine. She's not going to die. And he sits down and he goes, oh, thank you for that information. I really needed to know that. And then all of a sudden he goes back and he becomes a waiter again.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. You just do. And don't worry about what anybody thinks or says. It's wild.
Thank you.
Which I really want to talk a little bit about that tonight anyway. I'm getting a huge response now from people that have gotten on the website and they've read it and they're going, I think I may be psychic. Maybe I'm not crazy. I'm following these patterns. I see the patterns. Now they make sense. And surprisingly, the majority are men.
Wow.
Yeah.
An example would be?
I had this really neat guy call me. He said, I got on your website, and you talk about the patterns, what you went through as a psychic, growing up, he said, I've done those same things. And it clicked on me that what you were talking about was exactly what I did as a child. I used to bring lots and lots of rocks home with me. They would speak to me, want me to bring them home. And he said, I would see people and hear people, and nobody else could see them. And my parents thought I was crazy, but after reading and looking on your site, maybe there's something to this. Am I crazy? And I had his signature, and I had a picture of him, and I said, no, you're not crazy. You are extreme. He was extremely psychic.
Wow.
Mm. Cool.
Great personality. Great guy. Just really top shelf. Very, very sensitive. And I had to tell him, you're okay. The rest of the world isn't. But you're
they're all crazy, you're fine.
You don't want to be them. You just think that you want to fit in. You don't.
No.
Because they're not okay.
Being outside that box is a blessing in disguise.
It is.
And so about what age was he?
He was probably in his late 30s, early 40s.
Wow.
And he's been experiencing this all up to this point and confused.
Didn't understand, didn't know. Because the people think they're alone.
Yeah.
Can you give me like a little bit of an update? What's going on with everyone? Our people?
Which way do you, there's a lot.
There's a lot going on.
Everybody's losing their minds and the world's going to hell in a handbasket. A little bit, but it'll get better. But it'll get better.
A lot of people are experiencing a lot of changes really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the New Age movement is blooming again. Blew my mind.
I was really surprised to hear that too.
Yes. Some of you don't, but in 1986,
that was a good year.
There was a movement called the New Age Movement, and everyone was trying to find their twin flame, their soulmate, their past lives. There was this huge hunger for knowledge, and the churches freaked because it was New Age, which was actually ancient. And they were condemning anything New Age as being of the devil. Yoga was from the devil. You name it. Reincarnation
Steve.
Was from the devil.
We're in trouble.
You name it. It was.
30 years ago.
Yeah, and it's revived. And now they're not calling it New Age. But these people are coming in. And they're going, I want to find my twin soul, my soulmate, my... It's all the same words, but it's from way back then.
So the 80s have been revived.
The 80s have been revived.
The 80s were a good time, people, come on!
Good music.
Great
well,
music.
In 1986 was a harmonic convergence, which brought into effect a spiritual awakening everywhere, and people were seeing guides, they were seeing sparks around them, smelling incense. It was wild. It was great, absolutely great. So there was an actual rebirthing of spirituality, not within the confines of the church, but within the souls of the individuals. And that's happening again. That's what I'm saying. It's happening again. Some of the same words, but these people are hungry. They want knowledge. They want to learn. They want to know why they're here. They want to know about reincarnation. They want to know about life after death. That's why all these shows are just springing up all over the place, which is making them even more hungry, which I think is absolutely awesome. But it's bringing people to me that are very gifted and haven't known what to do with it and were just lost with it and thought that maybe they weren't all together okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which they are. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled to death with this. I think it is magnificent. Hang on, let me... Yeah.
Are the people from the 80s, are they the ones coming back?
No,
into it,
these are
new
people.
Young ones.
These are young people.
Okay.
Well, they're not necessarily. Yeah. What do you call young?
But it's another generation.
It's another generation.
Probably. My people.
Yeah.
Yes. I like the
newer generation
a lot better.
Oh. I graduated in 86.
Well, I'm getting them in their 20s, in their 40s, their 30s. It's amazing. They're going, what are guides? You know, I'm seeing sparks. What does that mean? It's so cool. You're going to ask something.
So, a lot of changes really fast.
And you're going to see more and more as these changes happen. And as these people are awakening and seeing that they're okay, that the world's maybe a little not okay, but they can make a difference because they have the tools to do that if they learn how to do it, I think you're going to see a revival of Christianity on an entirely different scale than it's ever been. It's going to be a spiritual Christianity rather than a religious Christianity.
That's funny that you said that. I was asked to participate in a survey which turned out to be political. They paid me well for it, but the very end of the survey, they wanted to know my faith. And the last question, one of the last couple of questions was, do you consider yourself religious or spiritual?
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yes.
Well, you really don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, to circle yes. both
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. Yes, that's very interesting.
I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah. They usually don't.
Wow. Well, there's going to be revisions. And I'm going to be really interested to see where this goes, especially with the webpage.
I was just thinking that's why the webpage had to be up.
Yeah.
And it did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now is the time for it to really be up there. Because people can get all that information there. And they can try it because it works. It's good stuff. Metaphysical is all well and good. It sounds really, really good. But if you can't use it in a practical world, it's like talking in tongues and no one interprets.
Right.
Well, it all works so well because it's reality.
It is reality.
And people have never seen reality for what it is, so
that's right.
Makes no sense to them.
Yeah.
They haven't been taught.
No.
That reality is what it actually is.
They're not taught about synchronicities, mm-hmm. which is really, really important. If you understand synchronicities, then you understand everything has a purpose and a reason. And if you can read the synchronicities, you can pretty much get what's getting ready to happen or why it has happened, which is kind of cool. And you learn that this is not a material-based place, but a spiritual-based place of existence.
We've gotten pretty bogged down in the physical, though.
We get bogged down in the physical. Because that's where all the temptations lie.
To have attachment to.
Yes, absolutely. And nothing is forever. Nothing is permanent. Mm. Nothing.
Except for God.
Well, God and you.
Yeah. In here, you, yeah. not me.
But everything else is, you know, rotating in and out of our mm-hmm. lives. Yeah.
I was thinking 1986 is like one of the best years of my life. And back then, it's sort of like the beginning of the information age and computers. And now, you look at all, there's so much more knowledge available now that I go on, I look for you on YouTube. I was going to recommend maybe instead of recording, you know, and just put the voice, have a little camera up there and start uploading a YouTube channel. That would be
yeah,
really cool.
I think
I'll see you do that.
You know, if you have the time to do it!
Put it on Facebook. Things are great.
The little snippet videos.
Tuesday tidbits. Those are nice because it's a very quick, concise explanation.
You do need to do.
You
do.
Yeah.
In
your spare time.
You're right, and I do want to get to the place where I can do that. The problem is, I have to have help. I just poor Savannah. She's yeah. it. She's our.
And you're
yeah.
a queen. Thank
she's
you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and thank you so much for keeping the website going.
You're more than welcome.
And you don't understand.
It's Steve and I probably come up with something.
Well, she.
I work full time and I'm in grad school full time and I do this on the side and I'm in the Monday night group. And I have to find time. And I'm a homeowner, and it's just me in the house. So I have to pay that. Sleeping. That's what I'm doing. Writing a research paper tomorrow night.
Oh, wow, that's all.
That's why she has to be really, really young.
Exactly.
Yes. A lot of energy.
Okay, let's go back to this.
Information before, and now it's all over the internet. Any subject you want to do. What you talk about, I'll go do internet searches on to get more knowledge. It's like, wow, it's out there.
Yeah, but there's not knowledge.
It's misinformation.
And the spirit guides and all that. It's like very interesting. You couldn't. Where would you get that before? Your local neighborhood witch. I mean, where else you get that?
That's right, Aaron.
Where else you going to get it? But now it's everywhere.
But the problem is, you've got a lot of garbage out there.
That's true.
You just
like what happened to Liz.
Exactly. You've got so much out there that's simply not true, mm-hmm. and it leads people astray, and it gets them into real dangerous areas.
What happened to Liz?
With Metatron.
The, Metatron.
Yeah, Liz found a place. She was
online.
Online, a prayer to Metatron.
To align her chakras. Yes.
To align your chakras, which is absolutely.
Well, Katrina did good, done that for free.
Clear
chakras. Yeah, it's just insanity. Metatron is the universal angel. Archangel. I don't think so. Anyway, it messed her up.
Hey, Eve. Okay, for a listen.
So she had a bracelet, that was magnetic, and it should have been very easy. And I'm not a weakling, and I sat there and pulled with all my might, couldn't pull it. She tells Carol about it, and then Carol gives her the 2x4 because that's what Carol does. And then all of a sudden, her bracelet just boop.
Yeah, I just pulled it right up, and it was. If you looked on the inside, it was looked like it had been welded. Wow. On the inside. She brought one that looked, that was brand new.
But it
that
was
showed.
A lesson for her.
It was her lesson.
And when she got the lesson,
bam, it opened.
It opened up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a lot of danger. You have to be cautious with this. Three rules of thumb, okay? God is real. Christ is real. Satan is real. If you'll stick to those three rules of thumb, you should be okay. Mm-hmm. And don't be praying to angels. If you ask angels for something, it's always in the name of Jesus Christ, period. And don't think that you have command of the angelics. You do not. You can work with them. You cannot command them. You are not God. And they are servants of God. And they are not humans.
Nor have they ever been, nor will they ever be.
Exactly. But they can make an appearance as a human. If they choose to, as messengers to give information, that sort of thing.
But, like, when we die, we can't become somebody's
guardian angels. We don't
become angels. Become angelics, no. That's a different species.
I have enough trouble with this species.
You don't want to get those wings going?
One species at a time. Yes, sweet Jesus.
What are these?
Spread your wings. Yeah.
But you can make them fall.
You can, by worshiping, by corrupting, yes. Everything. I asked what the root of all evil was, and I was told ego. Mm.
Okay. Ego.
Ego. Ego. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, isn't that what got Satan? Lucifer?
Ego.
It wasn't
he
money.
Was jealous of the human races. He wanted free will, though. Isn't that true?
As far as I know, I think there's probably more to it.
We're getting the Reader's Digest version of that story.
Yeah.
You know,
and
Dyer,
I don't want to know first.
Let's
Wayne
go back.
Dyer said ego is edging God out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
I agree.
Who said
that?
Sure
that makes sense.
Yeah. I like Wayne Dyer.
Well, I like him. He's really passed.
Wayne
Dyer.
Ah.
Okay, let's go back to the soulmate thing.
Okay.
Okay. Don't we each have many soulmates?
No.
We only have one, or we have none?
You have one soulmate.
So, there is a twin flame, then.
Yeah.
I read that that's a Native American
thing. Yeah. I had faces about it earlier.
Sounds good, I like it.
So, will you continuously have your lifetimes with that soulmate in there?
No.
Okay. Expand, Carol.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what a soulmate is. I know. A soulmate is your other half, your male side, your female side.
Okay.
Both male, female. You have another half.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you're female, you have a male side.
In the beginning,
okay.
In the creation process. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Adam and Eve.
Gotcha.
Okay? But they split apart. They go their own ways. Go through many lifetimes and can shift from male to female. Depending
okay.
upon the lifetime, whatever the lesson happens to be.
Right.
They can come together every so many lifetimes. I don't know how many lifetimes. Could be 20, could be 50.
Mm-hmm.
If one has fallen, which one can do, then they can take the other one down.
Mm-hmm.
If one has evolved, then they can help the other to evolve. But if one has de-evolved and one has evolved, there will be problems.
Mm-hmm.
Serious problems. And if you try to come together, it becomes explosive.
On a soul level, there's problems?
On being together, there are problems. So you have other souls that you have had relationships with. Mm-hmm. You can call them your flame, whatever you choose to call them.
It's like a menorah.
Gotcha. So you have many encounters with many souls in order to grow and to evolve or to de-evolve, whatever the case may be. And when you run into those souls, you're either drawn or compelled to them, or you are pushed away. You don't like them because of past life experiences. And sometimes you have to go through the same relationship 5-10 times.
And it comes back, and you sit there and you get the information about the past life, and you're like, son of a gun, that's exactly what happened this time around.
Yes.
I don't need it again. Thanks, I'm done.
So what is the lesson in that?
You forgive with love, and you release it.
There you go.
And it was to
Savannah's
what?
Savannah's the queen.
No, not the queen. Not the queen. Love. Just
learn.
I got the crash course. I didn't get years. I got the...
She got the one by...
I took the main master.
But you can romanticize it any way you choose to. But the fact of the matter is, we're here to evolve. But I think it's twin souls. I think it's flame souls.
But there are those souls that you are drawn to because you've had lifetimes with them.
Yeah, and there are souls that you had wonderful experience with.
Right.
But maybe you're not supposed to get together in this lifetime because you're not here to have that wonderful experience again.
Bummer.
So when you were
talking
earlier about this male and female splitting, are you talking about at the creation of the spirit?
Creation of the soul.
You actually have a male and female, a yin and yang.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this other side is living in...
People.
In
they're
people.
They're incarnating,
on the
you're
earth plane.
Incarnating.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So your twin soul...
Our soulmate.
Okay.
It's soulmate.
Is somebody out there that...
You may or may not see in this lifetime.
I've never
so
heard of
they
concept.
Incarnate at the same time.
Right.
I mean, okay.
And you may or may not incarnate with them.
Okay.
And you may not incarnate with them in a mating position.
Okay.
It could be a friend, correct?
It could be. Mm.
So, but there's
would
two souls.
Would you recognize them? How
yeah,
would you recognize them?
You would
them?
Have a...
How would you know this is my soulmate?
You wouldn't know that's your soulmate, but you would be very compelled to them.
Hmm.
You would feel very compelled, yes.
Does that show up in twins?
No.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, just...
That could get really confusing.
I
know what you're saying. But there
are yang were
there,
so much...
There are... They... But see, there's so many New Age terms. It doesn't mean those New Age terms are correct spiritually. Mm-hmm. It's just people, they like to...
Have their hi, my name is tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have their what?
Hi, my name is. The name tag?
Okay.
They put their stamp.
On everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so they'll use these terminologies. That goes back to the metaphysical stuff. Doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It just means that's a great way of saying it. Sounds neat.
Can but you see when it's someone's soulmate?
Sometimes it does happen. Sometimes it happens. And when you have your soulmate, and I've only seen it a couple of times, truthfully, they are like totally unified.
Mm-hmm. They're totally what?
Unified.
They're in sync.
They are in sync. They're just, I mean, it's incredible.
Mm.
Yeah.
So can you describe maybe the feeling you have toward that person if it is? Like your body, what would you feel? Would you feel like?
Complete, total trust and comfort. Mm. Not romance. Complete, total trust and comfort. Without any warning signs whatsoever, without the little red flags going off, knowing that this is your person. This is yours.
Is it possible if you haven't even met the person physically?
Yep.
Just to feel it and know it?
Yeah, you can have that reassurance. Unless they de-evolve.
What does that mean, de-evolve? What does that mean? They're just,
they fall spiritually.
They're doing bad things?
Yeah.
They decrease their vibration.
They do, yeah.
And then you evolve by doing good things?
It's not by doing good things, it's by being.
Spiritual.
Yeah, but it's more than that. You have to have a sense of morality, a sense of what's right, what's wrong. And I'm not talking the church, I'm not talking the government, I'm talking through God. You literally feel what's right and what's wrong. It's just there. And when you are evolved or evolving, you get connected. You can get connected. And it can't be about your ego, because trust me, there is no evolvement with ego.
If you're coming back into the whole, considering yourself as an individual, doesn't help that process.
Why?
The ego. You thinking you're separate.
No. You are. You are. You're part of the whole, but you are also you. You are separate. You cannot be a hive.
I think there's a difference between a sense of having a sense of self and having a healthy view of yourself.
There's
and
like
having
two different egos.
An yeah. ego.
There is a man-created ego, and there is a God-created ego of self-worth. Okay? That you are worthy because you are a part of the whole. You are a part of God. But you are a sentient being, and you are you. You are not somebody else. You are you. And you respect that. And you make sure others respect it. That's why we have to stand.
When people don't have self-worth is when problems start.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because they have to do one of two things. They've either got to beat other people down to make themselves feel better, or they become slaves.
They follow.
Enslaved. And then they feel like they have
they
to
drink the Kool-Aid
sacrifice. You don't want to do any of those. You don't want to do either one of those things. It's okay for you to be. You don't have to get lost in the mass. I don't think God wants you to get lost in the mass. God wants you to be you because that's who God created and that's who God loves.
He created each of us to be different.
Unique. Totally unique and different. And we keep that uniqueness and that difference from lifetime to lifetime. Now, I may get askew here, there, and yonder, but we are who we are.
So your personality basically is the same from lifetime to lifetime?
Can be. It can get askew.
Going back to the compulsion, you can be compelled to people if there's a lesson in that relationship.
There's
correct?
More than that. You can be compelled to people. Like if you have someone attached to you and they know that person and you don't, they get compelled. They will compel you to that person.
So there's more. So you can be compelled to another human being without it just being the soulmate.
Correct.
The true,
correct,
actual soulmate.
Absolutely.
Lessons, somebody attached to you.
Past lives.
Past lives.
Well, I think what you said about everything lining up, that you just don't find that. Everything being in sync with someone. You just don't.
No. And you don't find it because what's the purpose of being with that person? That would be an art in our life.
Right.
I know.
That's one of those gifted lives.
I know one girl who has, and it's, she just had like that, like the perfect, like not like the picture perfect, loved her family, has a great relationship, like perfect kid, perfect family. And I just look at her and I'm like, you know, if I didn't like you so much, I really wouldn't. That's why I'm like R&R.
That's an R&R life.
Mm-hmm.
We do get we earn R&R lives.
Yeah.
Everything you have received, you have earned.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
So if you have a really crappy life, you put yourself in that position to have that life.
Yes. To learn that lesson.
To learn the lesson, to not put yourself in the position to have that life.
So let me clarify. You're saying that when a soul is created, it's not just a soul, it's a twin.
It's male and female.
And they're separate souls. Mm-hmm. And they live in separate, they can incarnate in separate bodies on the earth plane or possibly one on earth and another on another planet.
No, you're both here.
Oh, okay.
Apparently. And of course, if they run off to Mars and they get stuck there, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, Matt Damon can fix that.
Yeah, there you go.
And so, one of your things that you, if you see this other person, this other soul, then you are compelled to them because they are your soulmate.
Pretty much, yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard you talk about this concept about the soul being
both male, female.
Yeah.
Well, the reason is so we can learn our lessons faster, so we can go to the Creator. Is that the reason why we have twin souls?
We are created by the Creator.
That's the reason, but we split because we learn our lessons quicker. Is that the reason why?
It's not that quick. There's nothing that quick. There's no time. Time is not a part of creation.
Each soul has their own lesson, correct? Even if they're your soulmate, they'll have different lessons.
But then you come back together.
So does that mean if you're... kind of, if you reincarnate several times and say you're in the lifetime where you find your soulmate, does that mean that's your last lifetime?
No, you don't have a last lifetime.
Oh, okay.
So do you always meet up in heaven or on that?
No.
Okay.
Somebody might be in a physical and somebody might not be in a physical.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
Correct.
We might one of us be in China, one could be in America.
Yes.
You could always wait for them, I would think.
Be a long wait.
They might be.
I don't suggest you doing that.
Now you get bored.
Yes.
So why would God make us with two different souls to make one, I mean, you know, from one to two different souls?
Balance. It's a balance. Male-female balance.
Okay.
And male. We all have male-female aspects. That keeps us within balance. Okay. But it's a... That, and I'm just telling you what they taught me. And then you can reincarnate. You can be the opposite.
Either or.
It gets... There's all kinds of...
A lot of physics.
It's really interesting.
It's not boring.
Where can we learn more about it?
Yeah. You learn more. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've heard of that concept before of having multiple incarnations of a soul, or multiple lifetimes of a single soul to kind of, as Dave said, learn faster.
You're not here to learn fast. It's not about fast. Why do you think we have reincarnation that's lasted over millions of years? I don't think there's anything fast there.
Maybe people just aren't catching on like they should be.
So you're saying some of us are slow?
There's a lot.
Squirrel!
I won it yesterday.
But seriously, one of my goals is to reduce the number of incarnations that I have.
Good luck.
As the Hindus call it, to reduce your karmic cycle.
Good luck.
So that you can at least get to a point of being out of suffering. Because that's what life is going. It is suffering. Is that not how you learn your lessons?
Really?
Not necessarily.
It's by your choice.
Yeah, you're free.
I'm not suffering. I'm not suffering.
I'm not suffering.
You don't want to quit reincarnating?
What do you
want? Maybe take a break.
What would you do?
You can take a break anytime you want to.
Are you going to underwater basket weave?
We fly around heaven and stuff.
Are you going to underwater basket weave in heaven?
You can take a break. Take a few classes while you're there, right?
You can do whatever you choose. There's no time.
Right.
I'm sorry. There just is no time. So you can try to evolve as quick as you want, but by you wanting to evolve quickly, you won't. Because your reason is not correct.
Spiritual time is not the same as our time either.
There is no spiritual time.
So,
let me get you ahead.
I'm sorry. Speaking on this subject, you know, I watch a lot of these near-death experience videos on YouTube, and
I came across one where it talked about reincarnation, and they go, some of them were saying that there's what they call, when you go in the afterlife, there's a light and there's a lords of karma who guilt trip you into coming back here. These are actually negative entities who are feeding off your energy, and this is like a prison planet, and you need to try to escape from this and all these incarnations.
Okay.
Huh, so that was very
interesting. I've never heard that
before. That's a Reader's Digest version. I mean, I've spent hours and hours on it, but I go, well, that's an interesting take.
There's a lot of interesting takes out there. And you're all welcome to do any of them that you choose to.
But what happens if you jump ship and then you jump ship to a place and you're like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else. And then you end up like somewhere really bad.
What they said.
Like, you know, like I'm thinking, what happens if you end up in a place that's worse?
You create it. It's your heart. What you will be the creator rather than being here, constantly being feeding the entities your energy through friction and war and you're feeding all that energy and they want to keep you here.
Okay.
Versus breaking free of this grid and going out in the universe and being your own creator, the divine source.
Okay.
And that comes to the J.J. Hertak webinar that I was wanting to talk about. They talked about that pretty much in the guy that wrote Pista Sophia and Keith Enoch, his group had a webinar 2 weeks ago, and they talked about the fact that you are, and from what I remember, they talk about creating funnels to higher levels of energy in order to funnel that energy into you so that you'll vibrate at a higher level, closer to God, if you will, and away from the negative, the dark entities. With, you know, well,
there's a lot of dark entities.
Isn't that what your chakras do, though? I mean, if you got a funnel of energy, your eighth chakra would be connecting you.
Well, so, eighth, ninth, tenth, yeah.
So that would be the chakras.
Well,
they were talking about visualizing this tunnel, though.
Right.
But you're always connected, but they trick you through the guilt trail. You got to go back in there and listen because you killed too many people, blah, blah, blah. Then you come down here and you're stuck again and again and again. Whereas, and you make a contract, it's your free will, and here you are. You can't blame anybody but yourself. You're here because you choose to be here.
I've never heard that.
No?
I've never heard that one either.
All I can tell you, I tell you what I have learned from my source, and my source are the Holy Spirits, and they've been with me since birth, and so far they haven't been wrong. Mm. If they are, I will quit them.
You try that.
Okay. But so far, I have not had that problem.
Not quite.
And they've told me that when you die, you have the opportunity to go into the light if you choose to. If you go into that light, that is Christed light. If you go into that light, you go to the first level of heaven. Okay? If you do not go into that light, you're caught in the outer darkness, or purgatory, or whatever, or fourth dimension would be a better way of saying it. That's where the dark side resides. That's where they live. That's where they are. And they will mess with your head. You might call them lords of dark, or karma, but these are the dark side, and they will mess with your head. And you can incarnate from the light where you can see clearly and understand what you need to do for your evolvement and for those around you. Or you can choose to incarnate from the outer darkness, which comes from a place of you're still carrying your old hatreds, your burdens, your guilts, all of these things. And you choose badly with your incarnation because you don't choose the right parents, the right opportunities to get on the right path. And it usually ends up being a mess. And you keep incarnating from the outer darkness. And if you do that, you're incarnating from the dark side. Okay? Mm-hmm. Which I think is kind of what you're referring to.
No, you're not reincarnating at all after that. You can go other planets. You're not stuck on this particular one that's being ruled over by the
now
negative
there,
entities.
I am told that we can incarnate in other planetary systems. And that some of us have incarnated from other planetary systems as well, okay? But you have to hit a higher evolvement to go to those particular planetary systems. We're kind of low man on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. which is fine.
And
it's okay.
But how you do that is coming back and learning the lessons and evolving.
They tell me it's like a Nintendo game, okay?
Super Mario Brothers.
It's a Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Higher scores.
You learn the level one, until you've got it down pat and you know every place to jump and kick. And it's very, very easy. And then they shift you to level two. And then you've got to start all over. And they keep, this is what your evolvement is about. You
that's a great analogy.
Shifting.
Yeah, it is. That's awesome. Really.
Mm-hmm. What about castles and where's Princess Peach?
So however you want to name things is by your choice, but there's not going to be a time frame. There just isn't going to be a time frame.
Well, how about when you, I had a near-death experience. I had a heart attack back in 2008.
Okay.
I died. It went above my body. I never saw a light.
Yeah.
People say they see a light. All I remember is I didn't see anything. I saw the doctors working on my body, but there was something right here in front of me to the right. Never saw anything, but it could communicate. That's all I can say. And he says, it's not your time.
That's why you didn't see
you are loved. You can do no wrong. It is not your time. I never felt any pain until I went back into my body. And it was literally like a sucking kind of sensation and going back and forth from pain, non-pain, pain, non-pain, and then bam.
Yeah.
But that one experience, you know, I was always afraid of death before, and I'm no longer afraid of it.
No.
You know, and I had been brought up in this, you know, really fundamentalist Christian belief that if you didn't do everything right, God was going to vomit you out of his mouth into this fiery pit of hell. And when I went over, I never felt that. And so it was such a wonderful experience at the same time, kind of scary, you know.
The reason,
people don't always see a light. And that's
the reason you didn't see the light was because it was not your time, literally, not your time.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people, they do see the light, they have some small experience, that's the wrong terminology.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
they have a huge experience, actually.
Yeah.
And they see loved ones in the light, and they get to a certain point, and they're shoved back down. But those that are absolutely, it is not their time, they're not going to see the light.
Okay.
You would see that.
And there are some that go into the outer darkness and get stuck there for a while and then come back. Those are the ones that really messed up with their lives.
That's an amazing story because my wife had the same experience. She died on the operating table when she
had
heart surgery. She didn't see any light.
No.
But she saw people afterward, like when she came back, she saw people in the room with robes on surrounding her and a big Roman guard with a book in his lap, dressed like Roman guard, like a Roman.
Right.
Diator, but she goes, I didn't want to say, I apologize to you, I don't hurt your feelings, but I did not want to come back. But she said, there was this voice. And she said, when you hear this voice, you don't argue with this voice. It's a voice that's love, it's deep, it's stern, but it's got your back. And she said, she said, not my time. I came back and I knew I was going to be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's very fast. Once you hear that voice, it's instantaneous.
Yeah, you're shoved back in.
And you're back in. It hurts, and the hurt is done. I don't exactly know how to put it, except that, I mean, I've been there too. But what I wanted to ask you, Carol, is confused. The male and female aspect, you can be born, say, tomorrow as a male.
Mm-hmm.
You can come down, be born. Your female can stay in heaven or whatever. For like, you could go through your whole cycle, die and go back, and still be there. You can have that much of a separation.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not working in.
You're not working in tandem.
Okay, thank you.
And you may be born back together as two males or as two females.
Okay, but you're not working. I mean, you can and you don't have it. It's wide open.
Yeah, it is wide open.
Okay.
Each half has their own lessons.
Yeah, they experience their lessons. They come back. They have the sharing or union, if you will. And then they go back out again and then they come back.
But you don't know how often they come back.
Or when.
I really don't. I really can't say. I think it depends upon the evolvement of both souls or de-evolvement of both souls. It's really a gift when both souls evolve and they come back. That's a real gift.
Do they both have the same frequency?
Yeah.
Signature frequency? One thing?
No one has this. Two souls, I don't care if they're identical twins, have their own signature frequency, unique unto them, even with twin souls, soulmates, rather.
But they're closer together in vibration other people.
Yes.
I would think that would be one thing that would help bring them back together, because they would essentially attract each other at however often, whatever the cycle is, karmically speaking. And if one was to fall and their vibe, well, their frequency doesn't change, though. Their signature frequency.
Their frequency would change.
Okay.
It could heighten or become lower, according to their evolvement or de-evolvement. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you met someone that has connected with their twin soul?
You mean their soulmate?
Their soulmate.
I've only seen it twice in my life. Mm-hmm. And I see hundreds of people. Yeah.
Have you ever met your twin soul?
My twin soul, I can't say for sure, but I think they de-evolved.
Because you so evolved.
Well, it's not that. It's just, I just don't think they...
Wow.
They're hanging out on the same frequency as you.
Yeah.
Not many people do.
But that's the information that I have, on that subject, that I have gone through. And, of course, I work a lot with people who've passed over. I'm not a major medium, okay? It'd be lovely if I was, but I'm just not. I'm more psychic and spiritual than I am anything else. I do have mediumship abilities, and sometimes they sneak up on me.
But if you touch into the signature energy frequency of somebody who's passed, is that psychic work or is that mediumship work? And when does
that's mediumship.
Okay.
And I have got a lot, I've received a lot of information from that. And also the Monday night work that I do, I get tremendous information. And so far, the information that you have does not correspond with the information I have. And I've been doing the work since, the Monday night work, since 1986. And the rest of it I've been doing for my entire life, so.
You're saying that's contradiction to the information?
I'm just saying his information does not correspond with my information.
Oh. And that's
Lords
where
of karma, that sort of
thing. Oh, I see what you're saying.
And that's where you have to be careful. On the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's so much information out there.
There's tons of information out there, and everybody's their own expert.
Right. Yeah. And some are for financial gain.
Exactly.
Well,
duh. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying. You're not. We know you're not. But.
It's the way it is.
And she was in it for financial gain. She'd have a better webmaster than me.
We love you, Savannah, by the way.
Yes, you're awesome.
Nah. You get
that. But you really have to be very, very cautious out there, because they can lie to you and you don't know that they're lying to you because you don't have any information as a foundation that you know is truth.
It was put on the web.
But it's on the interwebs.
Yeah, it's on the internet. So that's why I really try to warn people, because the wilder it sounds, the probably not true it is. But people love the wild. They do.
Sensational.
So you're telling me that my dog won't reincarnate as the President of the United States next life.
I can't guarantee that. And I'm not going to make a comment to that either.
Anyway, in time.
There's
time.
Break.
Okay.
Break time.
I'll wait until after if you want to.
I do have one more question.
Go for it.
In terms of, I know on your website it has a lot to do with things like curses on people and stuff like this. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, and it's been such a good conversation. But can objects have curses? Like,
yes.
Say, placed on them by someone,
yes,
who passed, like Pope Diamond, the red violin, or in my case, a wedding ring that I got from an estate sale,
yes,
or something.
Yeah.
Yes. You can do a lifting on something like that.
I had a lady that came to me. She brought a crystal, smoky crystal ball to me. She found it in her couch. And she'd gone to sleep on the couch.
She found it in her couch?
In her couch.
What?
And
smoky
I've got
crystal
it in
ball.
There, by the way.
That's the one that's in
oh,
there?
That oh, that's smoky crystal ball?
Yeah.
You opened our chakras with the cursed quartz crystal ball.
That one there, you're my friend.
I've got your number, Carol. Anyway, she brought me this crystal ball, and I said, well, put it right there. I checked it out. It had a curse on it.
Okay.
She woke up with full body arthritis. She was crippled to the max. Needless to say, she left this with me.
It was probably,
oh,
but it was meant to be yours.
It's
yeah.
Fine.
So what I
yeah, did, that's what I use.
We all did.
Little did you know.
You see that look on her face?
I love you guys.
You got rid of the curse before, because you don't want chakras on.
Well,
would I do that?
To see what would happen? To run a little experiment? I don't know.
She's a lot better now.
She needs proof.
Never sign up to be her guinea pig, ladies and gentlemen.
So, I call for the energy and consciousness of curses, spells, conjurations, hexes, fixes, damnations from her and from the crystal ball. From her first.
Okay.
I released it and bound it, turned from negative to positive, dissolved and dispersed it, returned it back to God.
That's on the website.
It's on the website?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then I took the crystal ball and I called forth the energy and consciousness of the same thing from that, and then I put it in water with iodized salt.
Okay.
And kept it in there. It was a good 4 days.
A long time.
It was a long time. And then I finally, and now it's clean as it can be. It's wonderful now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that she left it. And other people have brought me objects that have been given to them or left on their doorstep or whatever, and they were cursed objects to affect them.
Okay.
So that was what that was? Someone stuck it in her couch?
Somebody stuck it in her
couch.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
But that's a big ol'.
Now, I'm here to tell you, thank God, there are very few people that know how to do this.
Nowadays.
Yeah, well. Unless you catch it on the web,
right?
which is really good. Most people don't have the power, or the ability, or the knowledge to do that. But people, unfortunately, do damn other people,
and not intentionally,
and not
and it just flies out of some people's
mouth.
Yeah. And I have learned that damnations are very powerful energies, can do supernatural things. So, but that's on the web too, how to get rid of that.
Okay.
I hate saying that curses and spells and conjurations do not exist, but I'm sorry, they do.
Okay.
If I hadn't have experienced them, but they do. And I've seen what they can do.
So when you do that, if it was going to be over the crystal ball, you would say energy and consciousness of curses, spells, conjurations, hexes, fixes, and damnations of this crystal ball.
No, I just call thee forth through the power of the blood of Jesus. With your hands towards the crystal ball.
So you have it just in front of you.
Yeah. And then I soaked it in the iodized table salt.
What if somebody was at, like, remotely? Like, what if...
And by the way, her arthritis went completely away instantaneously.
Oh,
and has not come back.
So what if I was in my house and I've given you permission to pray for me, and you just knew that somebody had damned me, or I called you and said, Carol, something's up, got through the grapevine, there's a damnation, and you wanted to remove them from me, at a distance and you couldn't get a hold of me.
I've used your full name and your address.
Okay. So sort of like saying the lifting for somebody, you put their full name and address.
Exactly.
Okay. As long as you have their permission to do so.
Yeah, I have to have their permission.
Okay. And you always have my permission.
Yeah, but you have to state it once a year.
Hi, Carol.
There you go.
There you go.
Permission.
My too.
Yes. Now, at one time, you touched a little bit on this very subject, and you said something, or did you say something to the effect that if you do a curse or a hex or whatever, that
it weakens you.
That it comes back to you.
It does come back to you.
We need
what you put out there, what you sow, you reap.
Okay.
Always.
Even from past lifetimes.
Especially from past lifetimes. Oh my God.
And you send it back to the sender too.
Yes.
Yeah. If you be careful
with
that one.
When you lift it,
you send it back to the sender.
Could be someone who's dead though. So
be careful.
You have to be cautious. Because you might have been the sender.
Amen.
Well, how are we supposed to know that if it was done?
You don't.
That's the problem.
If it's something old, you go ahead and send it back to God.
Okay.
If it's something that's been newly sent, send it back to sender to teach. Positive, threefold.
If they do it again?
Tenfold.
If they do it again?
Hundredfold.
So a blood curse would just go back to God.
Blood curse, yeah, you definitely don't want to take a risk on a blood curse.
Nope, because you might have been the one.
But you might have done the original blood curse, and I saw that happen. It was in my learning processes. There was a blood curse. I started to send it back. It hit the woman that I was taking it off of.
Oh, wow.
And I watched her go, and immediately I took it off of her and sent it back to God. And I went, oh, my God. And then I checked it out. You were the one that originated this.
Goodness.
What's a blood curse?
Wow.
That's bumps. When you place a curse on the family, on the blood of the family, and it enters and goes generationally.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few of those.
That won't affect adopted children, though, will it?
No.
But if it was a curse placed on the family name,
it could be to the family name.
No. Yeah, it depends on what the.
Yeah.
They get real ticky.
And it can be jewelry, it can be a car, it can be a house, it can be property.
Mm-hmm. Glasses.
It can be anything. You don't know.
The knife?
Yeah. I showed
We saw the knife.
Yeah, they helped me with my TV and I showed them the knife.
This is a kind of cool knife.
Still had some blood on it too.
On that note, break.
Break.
Yes. Basket.